going on to our study of the book of Philippians, because I want to jump right into our text as my time is rapidly disappearing. The theme of the book of Philippians that we're looking at, the theme of our series, is on joy. And I find it interesting that Paul wrote this book centered on the theme of taking joy in your circumstances, not from, you know, a mountain ski resort. He wasn't sitting in a, you know, in a luxurious mansion, you know, with his feet propped up as he was writing a book or a letter to a group of Christians on joy. He wasn't sitting on a beach somewhere, you know, with sandals on and, you know, sipping a nice cool drink as he was writing, dictating this book, this letter to a group of Christians. Instead, he did it from a prison. Now, I've never been to prison. I've never been to jail. I haven't even had a speeding ticket in probably 15 to 20 years. But if I did ever go to prison, I don't think my brain would be thinking about joy and about how great things are and about how much I'm pleased and happy with what God is doing in my life. I would be more focused on myself and my situation. I'd be questioning God, and especially if I was there not because of some crime I committed, but because I was serving God, I would really wonder, what is he doing? What's going on? Why are you doing this to me, God? Why are you punishing me for standing up for your word and for your, you know, standing up and trying to proclaim and reach other people with your good news? And I wouldn't understand. It's very interesting that Paul was able to write a book, a letter to other Christians with a theme of joy. It shows that Paul has a perspective on life that I certainly don't have and that I need to develop. And so this message this morning is as much to me as it is to you. As we open up the Bible into the book of Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to pick up at verse 12 this morning, and it's just really a time for us to sit back and reflect, what is joy? What do I find joy in my life? And do I have a perspective on my life that is consistent with God's perspective on my life? I think it's an opportunity for all of us to take a quick look of self-examination on who we are and what we believe God can and should be allowed to do in our lives. But before we open up and do that, let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you often bring things into our lives that we don't understand, we don't appreciate, we don't like, we would rather we're not there. But God, we know that you have a perspective on our life, an overview of our life that we don't necessarily share in the moment. That in the times where we're struggling, that when we're hurt, when we're sick, when we're tired, that we just don't have the right set of view on our life that you have, Lord. And we know that you love us. We know that you bring all things into our lives to bring us closer to you, Lord. Help us learn from Paul's perspective this morning and help us be able to find joy in our circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to start right off in verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel. So that has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is in the cause of Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. So the first perspective Paul has on his life is Paul has found joy in his present circumstances. He is in prison and he's not questioning what God is doing, but instead he's looking around and observing what God is doing. He's looking for God's his results, and he's seeing them all around him. He's seeing the guards that are holding him in prison actually learning about Jesus and coming to know about them, and in some cases even responding to the gospel and being converted by that. He sees other people emboldened by Paul's example, seeing somebody who's in prison still advancing the gospel emboldens others around him to think, I can do this too. If Paul can do it when he's in prison, I can do it too. And I think that's the kind of perspective we can have in our present circumstances. We may not find ourselves all too soon in prison for our testimony. However, we need to go to our work, we need to go to our schools, we need to go to our entertainment venues, whether they're clubs or, you know, the sports for your kids, whatever they are. We're going out into a world that's not really excited about the good news of Jesus, and we need to be in examples. And we can be examples in fear, or we can be in examples of joy, of taking what we know about the gospel about Jesus and the good news about Jesus and sharing it wherever God moves us to be. We may not be in prison, but we're in also other places that it's going to be tough for us to share the gospel. And as Paul did, he took any time he was in a situation, he turned it towards the advancement of the gospel. And I think that's something we can all learn from, that no matter what circumstances we find God bringing into our lives, it's a situation, it's a circumstance, it's an opportunity for us to share the good news. So even in his present circumstances, which were dire from our perspective, he still was excited about the opportunity to share the good news. And then we look at verse 15. It says, to be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and strife, but others out of goodwill. These do so out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, seeking to cause me anxiety in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motive or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. So this is an interesting set of circumstances, and it tells me this, that in Paul's perspective of his life right now, he was pleased because the preaching of the gospel was taking place. The gospel was being preached. No matter what the circumstances were, the gospel was still going out. Now, it's interesting, these couple verses here, and I did a lot of reading on there trying to figure out what exactly was going on here, and I really didn't get a clear answer. But it's clear from the passage that somehow there was some Christians who felt they were in competition with Paul, that the advancement of the gospel wasn't all about us as Christians joining together to getting the good news out, but was instead a contest to see who could collect the most followers. And that's always sad. I've seen that a couple times in my life where churches were in competition with other churches to gain the most followers, to get the most attenders, to try to steal Christians from one church to another, trying to recruit them. And that's really sad to me, because it should all be about all of us joining together as one church family to reach the world with the gospel. And when Christians turn against other Christians and turn it into a competition, I think that really makes God sad. And I am so pleased that one of the primary things that Pastor Kurt focuses on almost a weekly basis is connecting with other churches in our area and developing partnerships. And as he talked about last week, the pastors in this area actually meet once a month, get together and pray with one another. And that's really encouraging to me, because we're now a team trying to reach the community of Carmichael together, not separately, not in opposition to each other, but all together. And we see that practically in every January when we have our Momentum Conference. We see that when we do our Freedom Celebration in July. We see that. We see other churches coming onto this campus and trying to reach other people with the good news. And that's encouraging to me. That's the way it should be. But Paul said, I don't really care whether they're doing it out of bad motives or good motives. What's important to me is the gospel is still being preached. And that's what he cared about. He goes, I don't care. As long as other people are hearing the good news about the gospel, that's all that matters. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that the most important thing that we can be doing here as a church is seeing the good news go out? Because I know that's a primary motivation of our leadership team, is whatever we're doing, the gospel is being preached. And as you see special events take place, whether it's next week we're going to be talking about an opportunity to minister to homeless people. In January, we have the Momentum Conference coming up. whatever it is, the focus is going to be getting the good news out. And that if I encourage you to partner with us to do that and make sure that we're focused on the preaching of the gospel. And then finally, picking up at the end of verse 18, Paul continues his thought. Yes, and I shall rejoice because I know this will lead to my deliverance through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Here's an ultimate perspective on Paul's life, that what he shares, and is that Paul has a perspective on joy in his future, I forgot how I did it, future possibilities. I tried to do a PPP alliteration. I didn't quite get it perfect. But Paul had a perspective on his future that was that brought joy to him. And that, as we saw in the video, he had the expectation that he was going to be found innocent of his charges and was going to be released from prison. And if history is correct, what we know of history, that ended up being the case, and he was released and was able to go on and do ministry for a little while longer before he was retried and then ultimately executed for his faith. But in his perspective, whether he was released from prison or whether he was executed, it was all to the good. If he was left here on earth and he was released, he could continue to do ministry, and that's what he understood was the most important thing. Because remember, Paul's perspective on his life and his perspective on his joy, he found joy in the fact that people were hearing the good news being preached and they were coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that was what brought him joy. And whether it was staying on earth and fulfilling that ministry, or if God decided, you know what, Paul, you've done enough, it's time to come to heaven, that was God's decision. And Paul would have been fine with that too. Personally, he would have loved to have left behind, you know, the suffering and so forth and went to heaven and spent eternity with Jesus. But he realized that it would be better for everyone else for him to stay. And that's what his hope was, is that he could continue his ministry. But ultimately, whether it was in life or in death, he would find joy in his future because he knew God was in control of it. And that's sort of something that touched me a lot this week, because life is really getting pretty unsure, pretty scary almost. You know, we've seen all these hurricanes hitting Texas and Florida, earthquakes, a couple earthquakes in Mexico. We've had record heat waves through many areas of the country. We had a forest fire that just devastated large areas of our country. It's just really scary out there. It's scary what's going on, and it can be really scary. We hear in the news about, you know, there's trouble in North Korea, there's trouble in the Middle East. You know, there's always something somewhere going on that makes us feel really unsure about things. And I notice I'm getting older, obviously we all are, but I noticed the last couple of years especially, it's really become real to me that a majority of my life is over with, that more of my years are behind me that are ahead of me. And it's really given me a perspective. Have I really done what I wanted to do through my life? Not just financially, not just, you know, with my family and so forth, but from a ministry perspective. Have I done what God wants me to do here on the earth? And I think I would love to go. I was really excited a month or two ago. Some of you know that I had really had some hope that maybe the rapture was going to happen, sometime in the last month or so. But God decided, you know what? I'm not done with you guys here on earth yet. I still have work for you all to do. So I think that we need to have that perspective. Whether we're going to go be with God or God's going to leave us here to do ministry, we need to have the same perspective as Paul, that the future is all good. Either we can minister for Christ or Christ will call us home. And when I think about being called home, you know, I think a lot about Gary. And I ministered with that guy for 25 plus years, and I never seen a heart that was so sold out for him. We're going to celebrate his life tonight, and it's going to be my pleasure to minister during that service. But he had this perspective. Gary had the perspective that to live was Christ and to die was gain. And I know with all my heart that he's sitting up with Jesus right now in heaven, pain-free, and just so excited to see the culmination of his life ministry. And I hope that when I get to be in his place, where God's decided it's the end of my time, that I can look back with the track record that Gary had of service, of loving people, of sharing the gospel, of giving everything of himself, every area of his life, to the ministry of the Word of God. And I think that's what we can do through the example of Paul, through the example of Gary's life, is we need to dedicate. It's easy to get distracted by life. It's easy to go back Monday morning, go to your job, go to school, and just forget all about what we learned about today, because the perspective that we need on joy isn't going to be in our face. What's going to be in our face is our boss getting down on us for what we need to be doing, or, you know, the homework we needed to do, or, you know, the practices we need to get the kids to. And life is going to intrude on us. If we don't struggle to maintain and keep a firm grasp on the perspective we're supposed to have in our life, it will be so easy for the world's perspective to come down on us and tell us what's important is money, what's important is fame, what's important is your good looks, and we're going to get distracted from what God says is important and what we learned about from the example of Paul's life. So I think it's a wake-up call for all of us that we need to dedicate and on a daily basis what we're doing here, why we're here, and who we're doing it for. Thank you for your attention this morning. I really appreciate it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out as I close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the love you give to us, the love you shared with us, with the world, and the responsibility, the opportunities, the blessing to be able to share the good news with other people, Lord. I know that sometimes you bring circumstances in our lives that we don't want, but I know that all those things are for good. And I just pray that you'll give us the perspective on life that we need to execute our decisions and our actions in ways that will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.